can no longer stand back and just let the schools choose. We need to be aware of what they're teaching, because parents are the best person to decide when and what to discuss about this really most important subject of human sexuality.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It's easy these days to feel like our culture is often at odds with many of the values we as Christians hold dear. One of these areas where this is most evident oftentimes is in the arena of education. And when it comes to education, one of the most challenging topics can be the instruction presented to our kids about human sexuality. Today, we're joined by Janet Ohl, a mom and military spouse whose life has really been dedicated to serving others, whether as a pediatric physical therapist or as a volunteer in her church and her local pregnancy care centers. Most recently, Janet worked with Onslow Protect Our Students to educate the public about a comprehensive sex education curriculum that was being pushed in her local school system. And her efforts and the efforts of those that she worked with really made a big difference. In fact, the success of that small grassroots movement has developed into a statewide organization that's dedicated to a similar mission, which we'll talk about today. Janet, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us on the show.
John, thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you and for your leadership in North Carolina and for really helping to expose what comprehensive sex ed is.
Janet, as we start our conversation, tell us a little bit about Onslow Protect Our Students. How did this group get started, and what is your mission?
Sure. Our mission is to really inform parents and the public and to advocate for health education that promotes an approach to sex education called sexual risk avoidance education, and which prevents teen pregnancy and reduces sexually transmitted infections. And that started in Onslow County. We got started. Onslow County Schools had made a positive decision to have sexual risk avoidance education provided in their schools through a local agency, a pregnancy care center. And through that center, a sexual risk avoidance education specialist was providing the education. This was back in 2013-14, and it was kind of abruptly stopped in 2015 under some kind of obscure reason. So we were confused about that. But Dr. Joe Worrell, who actually really was the leader who started Onslow Protect Our Students, he says he had a eureka moment. This was in the fall of 2015, when in a newspaper article he saw that there was going to be a kickoff for a new community program called North Carolina Youth Connected through a group called Shift North Carolina. And it was inviting leaders in the community to meet the partners. And the big theme was, the goal was to reduce the extremely high teen pregnancy rate in Onslow County. And so Dr. Worrell was really curious, because he was the board president of the Pregnancy Care Center, and he said, gosh, that's really what we do. And we hadn't been invited to participate. So he went to that meeting, and I guess they wanted to bring him in as part of the advisory group, but then they found out that they really didn't have any decision-making ability with regard to what was going to be presented to the children. And so he gathered some folks together, and we began to do some research, and what we found out was what Shift was and what comprehensive sex ed was, and we realized that we wanted to stop it.
Well, and we'll get into some of the details about the difference between sexual risk reduction and sexual risk avoidance, and the curriculum and the proposals that are out there. But let's take a little bit of a step back and talk about sort of the state as a whole. How does sexuality education work in North Carolina? Does every school district use the same curriculum, or do all 115 local school systems get to choose for themselves what kind of curriculum they teach?
So no, it is it is not the same in every school district. And really, that's a good thing, because school district can choose which curriculum and which approach to take. And what supports that is our law, which is our general statute, and also a clarifying law called the Healthy Youth Act, or HB 88. And the language in our law strongly supports sexual risk avoidance. In fact, I'll quote it. Instruction must teach that abstinence from sexual activity outside of marriage is the expected standard for all school-age children, and that a mutually faithful, monogamous, heterosexual relationship in the context of marriage is the best lifelong means of avoiding STDs, including HIV/AIDS.
Well, and something that our listeners may not be aware of is that law was actually enacted in the 1995-1996 session of the North Carolina General Assembly, and actually served as the model for the federal abstinence education law, which was passed soon thereafter. So we've had this statute in place for well over 20 years in North Carolina. Janet, in your opinion, what role in this process should parents have in teaching their children about these topics? And do you think our current law supports parents or works against them?
Well, our law states that each school district must make available all the materials being presented to the children under this area of instruction for 60 days prior to being presented in the classroom. And then also that if the parent reviews the materials, they may opt out if they disagree with what they see. I would like to speak directly to parents and guardians. After having reviewed several curricula, comprehensive sex ed curricula, and compared them with a more of a risk avoidance approach to sex ed, I must say that we can no longer stand back and just let the schools choose. We need to be aware of what they're teaching, and then we, because parents are the first and the best person to decide when their child is ready for this information and what to discuss about this really most important subject of human sexuality. Parents deserve to be informed, and they deserve to have easy access to view the materials. And then if they don't like what they see, they deserve a choice. But usually right now, and unfortunately, this means opting out of sex ed. And, you know, honestly, in spite of the law, what we're finding out is that most parents and citizens are unaware of the actual materials, the videos, or the PowerPoints that are being presented to the children. For instance, on an opt-out form that comes home to the high schoolers in my county, it's very vague information, and the schools will list what the state standards are, and most people can agree on the state standards because they're very generalized. But when it comes right down to what's being put in front of the children's eyes, it can vary widely. So I do have some recommendations for parents. Certainly go and view the sex ed materials. It'll be worth your time. Learn about this topic and really develop what your belief is. And don't be afraid to talk to your children about it. They won't want to talk about it, but you have to. Studies show that parents are the most influential consideration for teens when they're deciding to have sex or not. It's what was presented by their parents and guardians.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Janet, let's talk a little bit about the primary differences between comprehensive sex education, which, as you've said, is referred to now as sexual risk reduction, versus abstinence education or sexual risk avoidance. I do want parents to understand generally what the differences are between these approaches.
Sure. Really, the primary difference is in the two approaches is how they view teens. So the sexual risk avoidance approach, which comprehensive sex ed proponents would want to put us in a box and say it's just abstinence, just say no, and expect the kids to avoid sexual experimentation. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Sexual risk avoidance education is really a holistic approach that considers the whole teen, the whole child, and addresses not only physical risk, but the emotional risk involved in sexual experimentation. It is science-based with the goal of achieving optimal health, not just reducing the risks of teen sex. Sexual risk avoidance education uses a public health model known as primary prevention. And this is the same thing used, Gus, underage drinking and smoking among teens, and it's totally appropriate to use for the risk behavior of teen sex. Some people might be surprised to hear that sexual risk avoidance education does share medically accurate information on contraception, but always within the broader conversation, which emphasizes waiting for sex until they're older. Now, conversely, the sexual risk reduction approach really has a view of teens that assumes that they can't or won't avoid sexual experimentation, which is, in my mind, very demeaning to teens because statistics show that during the last 25 years that the CDC has kept statistics, the rate of teen sex has actually gone down and down and down. So the sexual risk reduction approach seems to be ignoring those statistics, and they assume teens can't or won't avoid sexual experimentation. So most of their time is spent reducing the risk of teen sex, the physical risk, and focus on demonstrating the various contraception methods. They actually teach how to give consent, sexual activity, and negotiation skills for using contraception. So sexual risk reduction is a secondary prevention. Remember I said the primary prevention is the risk avoidance approach. Risk reduction is a secondary prevention. And so it's primarily focused on increasing contraception in teens, which really essentially normalizes teen sex.
Great. Well, thanks for that explanation. That's really helpful in understanding those approaches. Now, Janet, as we close, direct our listeners to some helpful resources online and also to North Carolina Protect Our Students.
Sure. This is our website is a work in progress, so keep going back for updates. I'm going to give our website, and then I'm going to give a couple of other national websites that are really good. Our website for North Carolina Protect Our Students is NorthCarolinaPOS.com. So NorthCarolinaPOS.com. And then there's a link to the email address at the bottom of the main page. And then another excellent website is WeAscend.org. So it's spelled WeAscend.org, and that shows everything about what sexual risk avoidance is. It has 25 research studies showing significant behavioral changes to improve outcomes. And then there's another website called sexedreport.org, and that shows the failure of comprehensive sex ed to achieve its stated goals in U.S. public schools.
Well, great. Well, let me just repeat your website for our listeners. Again, that's North Carolina POS, protectourstudents.com. And then, of course, we've had guests on the show from Ascend, which is a national group that does great, great work in this arena. And we're so appreciative of them as well. But Janet Ohl, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters, for the great insights that you've provided to our listeners, and also for the great work that you and others have done locally there in Onslow County that has served as an example for other communities across the state who are dealing with similar issues in this whole arena of human sexuality and how that is presented to our students in our school system. So thank you so much. We are so grateful for all that you do and for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on Family Policy Matters.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. to listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.